And we're going to read a few verses in Romans, in the book of Romans. And I probably would not have gotten up had our brother not given out that last hymn. I think that was what kind of confirmed that maybe I should at least pass on a few thoughts. This may be more toward the younger in our audience. I still like to think I'm one of them, but we're all getting a little older as the days go by. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and the last verse. We just sang those words, and is it so? We shall be like thy son. And we know according to our Bibles, there's coming a day when we're going to be with him, and we're going to be like him for all eternity. In the meantime, we've been left a journey in life. Some, the journey is short. Others, it's much longer. Some, their natural life is long, but their journey in Christ is short because they're older when they get saved. Maybe I should tell, for anyone that don't know me, my name is Gaius Keynes. I was born in Newfoundland. And I'm still one of the younger, but it's almost 54 years ago. And I had the great privilege that there were men, like some of the brethren that we have heard here during this conference, that had an interest to see others reached and saved. And I'm not sure of the year. I think it was probably around 1948, 49, somewhere in that period when a man from Ontario named Herb Harris, that most, if not all, would have heard the name. He went, and like the spies, they went to Canaan. He went to spy out the land, and he went to Newfoundland. My understanding is it was somewhere not long after that when he stood at a conference in B.C., and some might know, if I remember correctly, it might have been at Richmond Hill. But anyway, it was a conference in B.C., and he stood up, and he gave a little report, again, as the spies that went into Jericho. But he didn't talk about the big grapes and the big giants. He talked about a place where, I don't know, there might have been a few miles of roads in those days, but if it was, it was only on the east coast of St. John's, not on the west coast, or across the island. And so at that conference, I understand, he gave his little report, and he said that he felt the Lord leading to a work in Newfoundland and Labrador, and that the only way, or maybe he said the best way, to reach the people would be by boat. Now again, I'm going by what others told me, because as you know, I'm not that old to remember back then. Wasn't around. Apparently after he got down, a brother that I remember meeting once, that I can recall, although he was in Newfoundland when I was born, by the name of Theodore Williams. He stood up, I'm told, and he spoke, and was it Caleb said, give me this mountain. I guess that was, some referred to it as his Magna Carta of sermons, and he said, Caleb asked for a mountain, and all our brother wants is a boat, and before he leaves this conference, he should have it. Anyway, I'm just one of many that's been saved as a result of that boat. Other men, like your brother Bert Joyce, Andrew Bergman, George Campbell, Gaius Goff, many men over the years But in the early days, many of those men came and they helped out Mr. Harris on the boat. My parents were saved in 1960, 61, and I'll shorten it up. And I was born in 1962 into a Christian home. But today, I just want to try and encourage each one of us with these words. Romans 13 and verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's read verse 13 or verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." I read this a few years back, many times no doubt, and it kind of struck me, how do we put on another person? You know, Google can be a good thing, can be a disastrous thing too. But I thought, and my thoughts went, as I looked at this, a little, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we go over to Ephesians, we find out that we're told to put on the old armor of God. We can understand that a little because we can think of a soldier going out to battle. And especially in those days when they had all the armor that they would put on for protection. And we're given a list of it in Ephesians chapter 6. But how do we put on another person? And if we were to go over into Corinthians, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I think that might be the key to what this verse means. And if we were to read it in the Darby translation, he would say, "Be ye imitators of me." Now, if I'm going to imitate someone, I'm going to need to know something about them. You know, I remember a lot of years ago, over 30 anyway, I was in Nova Scotia, and the big thing in the news was there was a movie coming out about the country star Loretta Lynn. Her life story was put on film. There was write-ups in the newspapers, and then there was things advertised, and then the movie was out. I never did see it, saw part of it, but I never saw much full of any movies because I always fall asleep. But there was a young lady at the time, a young actress that portrayed Loretta Lynn in her younger days. And I understand that Sissy Spacey, I believe was her name, in order to portray Loretta Lynn, she would have watched anything that she could find, video recordings or whatever of Loretta Lynn's life or in music. But to learn more about Loretta Lynn, she spent time with her. And according to the critics or whatever, she apparently did quite a job at portraying Loretta Lynn's life. Now, how am I going to put on Christ? I was going to say I'm not able to go spend time with him on an individual basis, but there is coming a day when we will spend time with him. But in the meantime, we can spend time with him in his word. And we seek to read his word and to learn something about him. What type of person was he? Well, you know, if we were to stand up here in the gospel, we would tell about a babe that was born in Bethlehem. And right from the time of his birth, he was in the outside place. Man had no time for him then at his birth. Wasn't long after his birth when the decree went out to get rid of the little baby boys because Herod wanted them destroyed. But then that little boy, the little man child born in Bethlehem, he grew up. And some 30 or so years after he was born, he began his public ministry. He went about and he did good unto others. And our brother has been telling us a little about heaven. He provided a way so that you and I could someday be with him. We could spend eternity with him. You'll forgive me for the reference to country songs or whatever, but I remember a lot of years ago as a boy hearing a song that said something about lift up the John B. sail. Had it not been for 2008, we were in Grand Prairie for 22 months from 07 to 08, and I went back to Newfoundland and to do a job that I had promised a guy I would do before I decided I was coming west. And on a Sunday morning, I was on the way in, driving in from where I was staying and working to the meeting in Corner Brook. Didn't have satellite radio. Mostly when I turn on satellite radio, it's either the news or it's channel 131, and there are some good ministry on that channel. Some we have to be careful with, I know. But anyway, I turned on the radio and it was the local station. And when I turned it on, that was the first thing that came on. I had nothing else to listen to, and I listened. And it said, lift up the John B. sail. See how the mainsail sits. Call for the captain ashore. I want to go home. A little over a year ago, actually a year in March, my father was saved in 1961. He went home. From that time until 11 months later, I believe my mother prayed more about going home than she did before. But anyway, I started to look a little into heaven. Still don't know much about it. I know it's a wonderful place where there'll be no sorrow, no heartache, and no pain. But anyway, I thought, as I was looking at it, and if you think about, we have loved ones that are not saved. We would like for the Lord to come, but we have loved ones that would be left behind. And so sometimes our mind goes to another old, I guess it would have called it one time a spiritual hymn or a spiritual song, and it says, just a little longer. There are so many wandering out in sin. But get back to what we read today. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of a person was he? We can look in our Bibles and we find that he was a meek person. He was meek and lowly. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He was one that invited others. He was one that sought to do good to others. He was not quick to be angered. And yet, when it was justified, we find that he threw them out of the temple. But you know, many of us, and I can't speak for many here, I don't know many of you. Many of us are far quicker than that to anger over little things. But you know, if we were to look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. He had compassion on them. Why? They fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. He was a compassion, and you know, sometimes we read those words and we think we know exactly what they mean. But a lot of times look up the meaning just to see if it's right in what I think it is. I find the meaning of compassion is a suffering with others. When others are going through times of trials, am I there to be an encouragement to them? He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. And so it was a suffering with another, painful sympathy. Do I actually, can others see that I'm sensing? And you know, oftentimes we'll say to someone, I try not after what I was told a few years ago, but oftentimes we'll say, we know what you're going through. Really, we don't unless we've been there. But you know, we can see, and those of us that are younger, we can see the older as they get on in years, and maybe they need a hand coming up the steps to the hall. Maybe they're at home and they need someone to pay them a visit. I remember, think about Mr. Ramsey, and somebody said to me yesterday when I told them I was from Newfoundland, they said, well, you would know Mr. Ramsey. Remember being at Akron Conference many years ago, Akron, Ohio, and Mr. Ramsey got up and he was encouraging the younger Christians to go visit with some of the older saints, some of the shut-ins. And he said, you're, and anyone that know Mr. Ramsey, he just kind of said it like it was many times. He said, you know, maybe you don't know. You're thinking, well, what would I say or what would I do? And I was in America, so you'll understand when I tell you what he said. He said, if you can't do anything else, he said, give him a picture of Washington. A little encouragement. We know that the American dollars all have Washington, I guess it is, or one of those under money. He said, just give them a little something to help them. But you know, we find that not only was he a man of compassion, he was one that stood up for what was right. I never really noticed this until I started looking at this a few years ago. And if we read in John 18 and 23, we find there that when the high priest asked the Lord Jesus a question, and when he answered him the way he did, they smote him. Listen to what he said. He said, if I have done evil, bear witness of that evil. But if I have done well, why smitest thou me? Now we often say, and we're rightly in saying, the Lord Jesus spoke not a word in his own defense when he was taken. He was falsely accused. He was mocked. He was taunted. He spoke not a word in his own defense. But I believe there's a verse that tells us that he just said enough to let his accusers know they were breaking the laws of the land in which they lived and the laws which they were supposed to be upholding. And yet he went to Calvary. Why? Because you know that one that was born in the outside place, the one that was the meek and lowly one, he loved you and he loved me. And he was willing to lay down his life so that we could live, so that we could have a home in heaven when this little life journey comes to a close. And I was going to say more, but I'm going to close. But I'll leave you with these words. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, I have a little something I was going to say, and I almost forgot. You know, when we think back to creation, and we look and we find that in Genesis, when God created man, he created them in his own image. And so there we would be able to say, well, exactly, no problem. We should be able to imitate him. We were created in his image. But you know, we only go about a chapter and a half, when we find that there was something that came in that destroyed that. Sin. And so now, what happens? What did the Lord Jesus say when they asked him about paying taxes? Should they pay taxes to Caesar? He said, show me a penny. And then he said, what inscription is on? What image is portrayed on to money? What image am I portraying to others around me? Am I portraying the image that was, is it right to say, superimposed upon me in chapter 3 of Genesis because of sin? Or am I portraying the image that I ought to, since I trusted Christ as my Savior, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, making that provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof? Each one of us need prayer, and I'm sure I need it more now than I did before I stood up there. Oftentimes, Satan will test us, and so we trust that God will bless his word, and that each one of us might go away from here with a desire to put on Christ, to seek to be more like him, and to portray him to others so that when they see us, they see something of the one that gave his life that we might live.